The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. Amen, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or the smallest part of a letter will pass from the law, until all things have taken place. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever obeys and teaches these commandments will be called greatest in the kingdom of heaven." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Father.
So we know the two greatest laws are the ones that Christ has given us: love God and love your neighbor. But how do we live up to these two commandments? What has the church given us to really follow these on a basic level? Well, believe it or not, over our 2,000 years of existence, the church has actually kind of settled on five laws that really help us live out the two greatest commandments. They're known as the precepts of the church. These are the particular laws that are necessary, the necessary minimum in the spirit of prayer and moral effort to grow in love of God and love of neighbor. The first one is to attend Mass on Sundays and holy days of obligation and rest from servile labor. The loving God part is obvious in this one, right? So attend Mass on Sundays, it's kind of how we got to see God at least once a week. And so we show up on Sundays and rest from a servile labor, and that way we're dedicating the entire day on Sunday to God. Very simple. But how does this also help us live out love of neighbor? Well, it's actually pretty evident when you're in a packed church and there's a baby crying next to you and the person next to you can't sing on key to save their life and all these other things. And so you're in direct connection with other people. And what's more is if you go to the same Sunday Mass, the same church, the same time, every single Sunday, and you sit in the same pew, you're always going to see the same people. So you're going to develop relationships with them. And the community starts to become cohesive. And then you start to realize that this is where, like, the rubber meets the road for the Christian life in a lot of ways, because you're not always going to get along with the person sitting next to you or even three pews ahead of you. And so you have to kind of work at overcoming your own misconceptions, because they might not even see eye to eye on a myriad of topics outside of the church either, but you still have to love them. And so this puts you in direct contact with your neighbor in a way that you don't get normally outside of church. Then number two, the second law, is to confess your sins at least once a year. Now this one makes obvious sense because it reconciles you to God, right? And so for the first law, it reconciles you to God, puts you in direct contact with him, helps you get right with Jesus. But also it forces you, if you do it right, it forces you to look at how you've harmed not just God, not just how you've offended God, but how you've harmed and offended your neighbors. And the more often we go to confession, the more we're confronted with the fact that, you know, I actually yell a lot. I actually get angry. I get jealous. I let all these human things, like, seep out of me and affect the people around me. And so you start becoming aware of them, and with the grace of God and the sacraments, you start to overcome them. Which leads us to the third law. Receive the sacrament of the Eucharist at least during the Easter season. And so the Eucharist itself, your communion with God, you become one with God at that point, right? There's, like, he's literally in you. You can't really get any closer on this earth than having the Eucharist within you in that moment. But on the neighbor side, it helps us to see that after the Eucharist, the most sacred person, the most sacred thing in the world is the person standing in front of us. It helps us to recognize the humanity of every person, the dignity of every person. And it helps us to overcome those faults that we found in ourselves in confession so that we can start to, you know, be more Christ-like. It's kind of the point, right? And then fourth, observe the days of fasting and abstinence established by the church. These are throughout the year. We have Ash Wednesday, Good Friday, and then, so fasting, Ash Wednesday and Good Friday, and then some form of penance is required on all Fridays throughout the year. And so what this does, obviously, Jesus says, you know, fast, abstain, almsgiving, all that stuff, prayer. So that's the God part, the God law. But the human side is that when we fast, we get to offer that for somebody or something. When we abstain, we get to offer that for someone or something. A particular intention we get to actually put into our fasting, into our sacrifices that we offer up to God. So now it draws us into closer communion with those people around us because it's like, oh, I know so-and-so's mom is struggling with cancer. I know this person, they just lost a loved one. And so now we get to offer our sacrifices for these people. And then number five is help to provide for the needs of the church. Now this one might be a little harder to understand how it affects both, how it's loving God and loving neighbor. Because it's like, well, the church isn't God, and the church isn't my neighbor, you know? Like, well, yes, it is. It's not God, but it is your neighbor. But for the things of God, the Eucharist, the Mass, is the most important thing we can ever do in any given day, more important than all the world governments combined and what they're doing. The Mass is that important, and so the church kind of does absolutely need your help. I know 10% is not required, but anything you can give on a regular basis is much appreciated. That's what it means by providing for the needs of the church, but there's also a second part there that a lot of people just assume, oh, you know, I have to donate on Sundays. And trust me, we do need money on Sundays to help to provide for the church, but the church isn't just this building, isn't just like what you see here. It's not just the priests and the bishops and the pope and the nuns and the brothers and all that. All of us are part of the church. And so if you know that somebody's just lost a loved one, bringing them a casserole is definitely fulfilling this law, providing for the needs of the church. You see a brother or sister without shoes, giving them a pair of shoes is providing for the church. It's basic charity. And so these laws are what the church over the last two millennia has really kind of come down on and said, this is what's going to help us grow in the two greatest commandments of loving God and loving your neighbor. Attending Mass on Sundays and holy days of obligation and resting from servile labor, confessing your sins at least once a year, receiving the sacrament of the Eucharist at least during the Easter season, observing the days of fasting and abstinence established by the church, and helping to provide for the needs of the church. And I share these today as a reminder for all of us in hopes that we can grow in love of God and neighbor and really, truly fulfill the mandates of the gospel. God bless you.